Cantonese, Mandarin, Dari, Hungarian, English, Farsi, French, Pashto, Serbian, Spanish, Urdu, Hindi, Punjabi, and Vietnamese. You can contact Immigrant Services, Guelph Wellington, for more information about our free settlement services as well as all our other programs at 519-836-2222. That's 519-836-2222. Drop by and see us at 926 Paisley Road. You can also visit us on our website www.is-gw.ca. Thank you.
Listening to These Things That People Make on CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph. And I'm your host, Sarah Mangle. I'm pumped about today's show. I did an interview a couple days ago, I think it was Monday, with Jessica Maxstein, known as Max, who is a freelance writer and teacher. She is currently working on a biography of the Muppet performer Richard Hunt, based on her zine, The Rainbow Connection, Richard Hunt, Gay Muppeteer. Max Stein is the author of 10 publications, including The Long Walk Back to Myself, a bestseller at Microcosm Publishing, which is a publishing house I often talk about on the show, and Body Language, an honorable mention in the 2007 zine yearbook. Her poems and nonfiction have appeared in The Sun magazine, Makeshift magazine, and Sinister Wisdom, among other places. And her work has also been included in exhibitions at the Queer Zine Archive Project and Barnard College Zine Library. She was a 2007 Emmy Award winner for Women's Poetry from Poets and Writers magazine. From 2001 to 2003, she covered queer and women's issues at The Independent, a progressive New York newspaper. She won a 2003 Independent Press Association Award for Best Editorial for her coverage of the anti-gay murder of Sakia Gunn. She teaches English at the University of New York and lives in Brooklyn. And today I'm talking to her about the book that she's writing about Richard Hunt based on her zine. So we'll just get started with her talking about it.
I'm Jessica Maxstein, but everybody calls me Max. I've been a writer all my life in a lot of different fields, in journalism, in poetry, in fiction, pretty much everything except drama. And I love nonfiction because, you know, some of the stuff that you find out, you just can't really make up, you know?
Yeah.
In life. That's just weirder and full of more coincidences. That, you know, if you read something in a novel, it'd say, oh, you know, that's so made up. But then you can read the same thing in nonfiction, and it's just kind of perfect. Yeah, life is crazier than we can ever imagine.
Uh-huh. It's true.
So it's I love the Muppets, but the book is sort of less. It's more of a biography than it is kind of just about the Muppets.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that Richard Hunt was this fantastic performer and that so many people know his characters is definitely a big part of the book and a big part of his life. But it's even bigger than that. He was a really amazing character himself. And it's just really great to keep his story alive.
Can you tell me the story of sort of learning about him and what inspired you to want to learn more and write about him?
Well, sure. I was really into the Muppets as a kid. You know, I grew up in the 80s. I was a Sesame Street kid. And then I didn't have a TV for a while. Then YouTube kind of hit the internet. I was a little late to YouTube, but then I kind of made up for lost time. I was sort of a little bit of a born again about it. And but you know, because I hadn't had a TV for so long, you know, you have to be a little righteous. You know, you can't just watch it. You know, I had to like nerd out about it and research it and kind of read all about what I was watching and I started doing the voice chasing, like figuring out who was which puppeteer. And I just started noticing that Richard Hunt was so many of my favorite characters. He's Scooter. He's one of the old guys in the balcony, Statler. He's Janice. He's Beaker. And he's just like all over the Muppets. He's all over the Muppet Show. And then he's Junior Gorg on Fraggle Rock, whom I also love. And I just was so surprised that so many were because he's really not as well known as Jim Henson and Frank Oz, but all over the Muppets, Jerry Nelson as well. Just so many wonderful characters. So my curiosity was sort of already piqued about him, and then I was reading this book called The Gay Metropolis, which is a history of gay male life in America from the 50s onward, mostly based in New York. And they had interviewed one of Richard Hunt's lovers. And he talked about how Richard would come over at all hours of the night. He would come over with drugs and a quart of orange juice, and we would get high, and we would drink our OJ, and we would go to bed. And it was the orange juice. I got to tell you, it was the orange juice that hooked me. It was the orange juice. Mom calls him the orange juice kid. And I just, you know, I was like, I don't remember seeing this on Sesame Street, you know?
Yeah.
So I was really intrigued. So I started just kind of poking around and seeing what I could find about him, and there was virtually nothing. I mean, there were a couple podcasts that I eventually found, you know, a couple mentions in a couple of books, but there really wasn't much at all. So I started putting together the zine, and I did sort of a zine release party at Blue Stockings Bookstore down in New York, and we watched a bunch of clips.
But Max, how did you put together a zine if you couldn't find any information?
Well, I found some information, and I just, you know, looked really hard. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. And I just built a chronology out of the little bits and pieces that I found.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt. Keep going.
No, it's cool. So then I did that. So I did the zine release party, the event. And, you know, I mean, I've been a part of Bookstore and for a while. So I just was like, oh, okay, you know, some of my Blue Stockings friends will come, and it'll be, you know, cute. And we got like 80 people.
Awesome.
Yeah, with like not very much promotion at all. And so that's when I said, oh, this is really something. This is really something that people want to know. This is a story that needs to get told. And then, but it was really kind of very step by step that I got into the book. My joke is that, it's like boiling a lobster. Like the water gets a little hotter, and then all of a sudden, oh, I'm writing a book. I set up a couple of interviews just because there was. The more I found out, the more I realized what I didn't know.
Mm.
So I set up a couple of interviews, and I met his mom, who still lives in his childhood house, and who is like one of the nicest people in the freaking world.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, and I interviewed her, and then I just did a few more interviews, and then I just kind of, you know, and I was like, well, you know, I'm adding notes to the zine, you know, maybe I'll just expand the zine, and, you know, 100 pages later, I was like, just give it up, Max, you're writing the book.
Yeah.
So, that's the story. I'm Jessica Max Stein.
So we are in the midst of listening to an interview with Jessica Max Stein, who is the author of The Rainbow Connection, a zine about Richard Hunt, who is a gay Muppeteer. The Muppets, Fraggle Rock, The Great Muppet Caper, Sesame Street, all these lovely shows that a whole generation of us grew up with. And Max is just talking about... I love what she mentions just at the beginning about how often nonfiction is more surreal than real life. And she just sort of talked about the process of like learning about him and gathering information and then discovering that a lot of people were interested in learning more, and that it was something worth sort of following up on and developing a zine, and then realizing she had enough for a book. So the next part of the interview is my favorite part. Always, I asked her to read an excerpt from the zine.
Here, I'll read you about how he joined the Muppets.
Yeah.
Okay. After graduating high school in 1969, Richard was initially at loose ends, briefly preparing weather reports for disc jockey Brucey Morrow. My qualifications for the job were absolutely zilch, he said. I used to stick my hand out the window, feel what was going on out there, and write the report. He lasted about 4 months in the job. Then, he says, I decided to make a career of resting. I quit, went home, and watched more Muppets. Then one day I thought, hey, why don't I try to get with them? First, however, Richard showed up at the Captain Kangaroo studio in New York, where puppeteer Gus Allegretti was a family friend. Richard decided he'd ask Gus for a job, as Mother recalls. But when Richard appeared at the studio, quote, Gus went nuts. He took Richard outside and said, get out of here. Bob Keeshan is the nastiest man in the world, and I don't want you anywhere near him. He's awful. Regardless of what turned Richard away from Captain Kangaroo, he followed up by displaying his usual pluck. He went to a phone booth, called Henson Associates, and asked them cold if they were hiring puppeteers, his mother recalls. Amazingly, Jim was auditioning people that very day, so Richard went right over to 67th Street. He was ushered into a room, and there were Frank Oz and Jim Henson and Jerry Nelson in a box full of puppets. Richard said, they threw a puppet at me and said, sit down. It was incredible. We just all talked together. We knew right away we had the same sense of humor, and I think they liked me. They liked him all right. A few weeks later, Henson and Company invited Hunt to be in a workshop production, the hour-long special The Great Santa Claus Switch. Muppeteer Fran Brill also debuted on the show, which aired in December 1970. Richard was hired full-time with Sesame Street in June 1972. That's the end of the chapter.
That's an amazing story.
Yeah, well, that's very Richard to just call them up.
To just go into it.
Yeah, he had some serious chutzpah.
How does it feel to write about somebody who is no longer alive?
It feels really great. My friend Leah, who lives in Toronto, she says that I'm the steward for Richard's memory. And I like looking at it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's important.
For sure. Do you have like a list of questions you wish you could ask him directly?
Oh, that's a fun question. I hadn't thought of that. There are some things I would love to talk with him about. Yeah.
Like what?
He was sort of, he showed different sides to different people. He was more out in certain situations than others. And he doesn't seem conflicted about being out. But, you know, he was born and raised in the 50s, and it can't have been the easiest thing in the world. So I'd like to talk to him about that. Some other things, too, probably. And also the work, the puppeteering.
I wonder about, like, when you were describing, I'd like to hear more about the Blue Stocking release, because I'm just curious about, like, who showed up generationally. Because when I think about you learning about Richard and, like, a whole generation of people our age being entertained by the Muppets and a whole generation of other older people producing the Muppets. It's just interesting. Yeah.
No, I've done events all over the country, and then also in Toronto, New York, Albany, Jamestown, Chicago, Portland, San Francisco, Minneapolis, Madison, just all over. And you really can't predict who's going to be there. It's really age wise. It's all over the place. Sexuality wise, it's all over the place. These Muppets are, there's just something about the sensibility of the Muppets and the humor of the Muppets that's somehow universal.
The technology around producing it, like the materialism of the images that we saw, like the fabric and like stage and everything was really done in this way that was very, I can't think of the correct, like there's a lot of our senses were entertained at the same time. And the character development was really strong, in addition to the puppets being so amazing. So it's just like I'm a real, like, it's Fraggle Rock for me, basically. Like those,
Fraggle Rock.
That's where my heart is for sure, is Fraggle Rock.
See, in America, we've got a class divide around Fraggle Rock because
really?
it was aired on HBO. It was aired on cable.
Really?
So yeah. So if you, like, I didn't have cable growing up.
No,
if
me neither.
Yeah, if you didn't have cable growing up, you did not grow up with Fraggle Rock. Whereas in Canada, it was just on CBC.
Yeah.
So all the Canadians that I've talked to, you know, have seen it and loved it. But, down in the States, it depends on how you grew up. The characters are definitely, I mean, it's acting, you know, in terms of facial expressions and personalities. It's definitely acting. Just because it's, you know, and the puppets, I mean, and I speak to a lot of puppeteers, and this is, and they all sort of say that, you know, it's acting. It's making the most of your moment on camera and having your puppet, you know, make faces, have feelings, reactions. Definitely. It's acting as much as human acting, and I'm glad to sort of spread that word and have puppeteers get credit for that.
Do you have any sort of like surprising experiences traveling around? Like, do you have any stories you want to share around like interactions you've had with people launching this project?
Just a lot of incredible. I'm sorry, I'm at a friend's house and their cat is.
Oh no!
What? Oh, I opened the fridge. Of course, it must be for you. You! Yes! She's, like, following me around and doing that thing where, like, she, like, steps right in front of me so that I'm going to trip over her.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, kitty. Do you hear this?
Yes, I do.
So mostly just the generosity of everybody has been amazing. Richard was sort of, you know, his generosity.
Mm.
Everybody has a story to tell about how you couldn't pay a check with Richard. Maybe if you went to the restaurant before, you know, if you picked it out beforehand and you knew where you were going to go, and you, like, went beforehand and you gave them your credit card and said, you know, don't bring the check, just use this credit card, then maybe you could get away with, but he would always grab the check and he would just, he was just amazingly generous with like his, well, actually, let me tell you another really good Richard story.
Yeah.
He had this beautiful house on Cape Cod and he let Pete Coogan, a producer, stay in the house on his honeymoon, and he gave him a list of places to eat, you know, that they might want to go, they might want to check out.
Yeah.
And so they go to the first place, and they eat, and the maitre d' says, oh, it's been taken care of. And throughout the whole honeymoon, every single restaurant that they went to, every restaurant on the list, Richard had like prepaid.
Oh,
and then I guess he had tabs. I'm not really sure how he worked it out, but he paid every restaurant in advance.
Wow.
I feel like I'm still riding Richard's generosity.
Yeah.
Everybody's just so happy that I'm putting all this work into helping keep him alive, you know, and people have, I mean, like right now, you know, I just did this event last night in Poughkeepsie, and, you know, I've been staying with these two ladies, you know, a couple towns over. But just in terms of, like, being willing to meet with me and just share stories with me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still riding a lot of Richard's generosity, and I'm just incredibly, incredibly grateful.
Against all of me, when I took myself far and away from everyone that I knew. If you're looking for the moon, is it ever when it's new? When the iron is cold and the binding holds fast on to you.
You are listening to These Things That People Make on CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph and on the internet at www.cfru.ca. We archive our shows for up to 6 weeks. You can go to the website and follow the links under archive. You can go to the main archive or alternative archive, and you can find all the past 6 weeks of shows. And I'm interviewing Jessica Mack Stein, who is a writer and teacher based out of Brooklyn. She has made a whole bunch of exciting zines, and you can check out her stuff at jessicamackstein.com. I'm talking to her specifically about her work researching and writing about Richard Hunt, who was a gay Muppeteer and very involved in Sesame Street and other Muppet-based shows. And I'm going to go to the last part of the interview right now. there's some exciting things. I'm thinking about like a whole bunch of exciting things at the same time. I think the world of the Muppets and the world of all those other shows was a really exciting time in television. I think that they really lent something really significant to the imagination of a lot of people. And I think a lot of us want to revisit that and explore that as adults, you know, like what was that and what did we feel? And I think because there wasn't a lot of information on Richard Hunt, it meant that you had to like go and interview his mom and like do some really, you had to go meet people, you know, which is so much more valuable than just reading a whole bunch of biographies on Richard Hunt, you know, and compiling something else. It means you actually made really real connections with people.
He was part of a great era on The Muppets, and also he's part of a great era on gay history that we don't really talk about anymore.
Want to tell me more about that?
Well, the gay movement has gotten very assimilationist, very marriage-minded, and in my view, that's kind of creating like a class of acceptable gays. I feel like it's going to make everything worse for the queers.
Yeah,
you know, and I mean, it's tricky talking about this with Richard because he wasn't necessarily community-minded.
Mm.
I mean, he was out, but he wasn't like. You know, he's not, like, ever going to go to, like, an ACT UP meeting or anything like that. Like, that's just not his thing. Like, he's not, you know, and if he's around somebody who's not comfortable with him being out, he wouldn't really talk about it.
Mm.
He wanted to be liked. You know, he wanted to be liked. He wanted to be accepted. He wasn't going to, like, give anybody a hard time or make anybody uncomfortable, you know. So that's a little different, I think, from our generation. So when I'm about to say, I'm not necessarily speaking for Richard, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But he was, you know, he had one long-term partner, but that was only a couple of years. And, it was only a couple of years because the partner died of AIDS. I mean, let's get real. But, you know, but they weren't necessarily monogamous. He wasn't necessarily monogamous. Most gay men, you know, in the 70s weren't necessarily monogamous. And I think it kind of, you know, this emphasis on marriage really makes a lot of gay lives invisible. Because, I mean, everybody loved him. It's, like, kind of sick, actually. Somebody told me a story of having to make a connecting flight with him, going from one flight to the other. And they almost missed the second flight because Richard had to say goodbye to all of the friends that he made on the first flight. Which is just so Richard, you know, but if you look at it from, like, a marriage perspective, it's like, oh, well, he was never married. Oh, poor, poor, lonely, sad, never married gay man, you know. And it just makes invisible just how connected he was and how loved he was and how much of so many different communities he was a part of. And I'm worried that, you know, so the gay marriage thing is, like, having us, you know, it's leaving out that part of history. And I mean, I feel the same way kind of about myself, you know, this like enormous community, these like amazing friends, like all over the country, you know, all over the country and in Toronto. Do I get to say internationally now?
Yeah, totally.
You know, but it's like, oh, boo-hoo, you know, oh, boo-hoo, I'm not married. You know, and it's just not like a realistic representation.
No.
You know? And I feel like that's starting to happen more and more with the gay community sort of obsession with, I mean, good for them. You know what I mean? Like it is a form of equality. You know, if I'm talking to some straight person who doesn't believe in gay marriage, I'm going to argue in favor of gay marriage. But if I'm talking to you, I'm going to say it's kind of assimilationist and it makes me nervous.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? It makes lives like Richard's invisible. It makes it be like there's only one way to be, you know? So I like to kind of keep that dialogue alive as well.
You have been listening to an interview with the fantastic Jessica Max Stein. You can contact her at gaymuppeteer@gmail.com and go to her website, jessicamaxstein.com, and check out the stuff that she's been doing. And so she's got this zine out. It's called The Rainbow Connection, Richard Hunt, Gay Muppeteer, and you can get that off of her website. or you can follow links to get it off her website. And then stay, like, keep your eyes open for the book, because the book is going to be really exciting. There is a lot more to this interview that I haven't had time to air.